This is the June 15th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 416 for property ID 181268000. The property is owned by C. Arrow LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Dennis Ingram present as the representative for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear your testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I don't really have anything else as far as questions. I think the thing that I'm trying to bring to the attention of for this purpose is that the valuation seems to be based on its potential for a commercial development rather than residential use, which is currently its highest and best use. In the opinion of Sterling Design, which does do that kind of development, the reason for that is that it doesn't have the appropriate access onto a public road, and that until the some properties between this property and Northeast 179th Street develop, it isn't going to occur. I don't anticipate that Clark County will develop a road to the property. So it's a matter of when those intervening property owners decide that they want to sell, then this property could potentially purchase those properties and develop a road. Once property does have access for a road, it still remains subject to significant wetlands. A large portion of it is subject to wetlands, as shown in the maps and the wetland report that was submitted. And so that wetland has to be mitigated at so much per acre. It's on a one-to-one basis, so we basically have to buy other wetland property for mitigation purposes, and the estimate is included in the materials. There's approximately $1.5 million in road development cost and wetland mitigation and other permitting requirements. Primary purpose for purchasing this property is to eventually develop it with road and do the wetland mitigation, develop a road through there for the benefit of the public in Clark County, which then in turn allows the development of other adjoining parcels of property. But none of that can occur until the parcels that are out in front of it, between it and the public road, are developed. I think there's a little confusion in the record. When I went on to the assessor's property information site, I did discover that there was a affidavit of value filed that I hadn't seen before. At least I certainly didn't recall seeing it, because I am the principal with Sierra. I just formed it as an LLC. I'm renting the property out as a single family residence. The unusual factor was that the prior owner and the adjoining property developer had made a tentative agreement to where the developer would convey a portion of his land to the prior owner of this property and pay the additional sum of $350,000 to take that property. And the reason for that was simply that it was a requirement to develop that property to build a road, a portion of the planned road for Clark County. And he couldn't develop that road because it would just be an isolated piece through a wetland. And so he wasn't able to get the permits to do that. So he discussed it with the adjoining owner, said, hey, how about I give you a lot line adjustment and you assume the responsibility and I'll pay you for it. I'll pay you to do it. That owner didn't feel comfortable handling the situation, knew that I was interested in buying the property, and contacted me. And so I purchased the property and concluded that agreement in June of 2022. So my net cost was $740,000.
Okay.
I think that that's maximum value, certainly the maximum I was willing to pay. And I felt like I paid somewhat of a premium because it does allow for future development and has some control over the future development of some of the land.
What? This has an address of 179th?
Correct.
And I'm looking at a map and it doesn't show it on 179th. Where's 179th in proximity to it?
To the south. And if you follow that line or that flag on the left, if you were to follow that all the way out, it does connect to 179th. However, it comes in on 179th where Clark County has entered into some kind of arrangement to put a roundabout for the condominium complex across the street. And so it interferes with that. In addition, there's an encroachment on that flag. And this parcel doesn't actually use that flag as its access. It has an easement over on the other side coming out to 179th on the east side. There's an easement, 30-foot easement. The actual width of that flag that's not blocked by the is about, I'd say, 15 or 16 feet, just a narrow driveway that serves two houses. That would be the flag on the west side of the property coming
south. Okay, got it. Yeah. They're putting in another roundabout there?
Clark County has a roundabout, yes, and
everywhere.
Rather strict as far as, you know, your distance. And currently, there's no access to this property that can be developed as a public road.
Aren't they putting one at 29th also?
Correct.
Oh, crap. I didn't realize they were putting one that goes into apartments that are south of there?
It goes into the condominium complex, Whipple Creek.
Yeah, right.
Condominiums.
Right. I've got it. Okay.
And I don't think Clark County is actually going to construct the roundabout. They will leave that to the developers of the properties that you see there. Just to the north of 179th, there's three or four, there's several small parcels right in there.
Yeah. Where is that in relation to, there's a veterinary hospital there, where is that?
That would be further to the west.
Okay.
Yeah, just before you get into the wooded area.
Got it, yeah. I try to follow this, and how much did you actually pay for the property? You said $740 is what you've got into it.
I paid a total of $700. I initially paid the prior owner $1,090,000 with the agreement with the adjoining owner to reimburse me $350. And that was, and there you do have a closing statement for both of those transactions in this material submitted.
Why would they reimburse you for that?
Because of the road.
Because of his obligation to build the road, that Clark County, and that's actually in the staff report, which is a little bit hard to follow. I don't expect you to read that 37 pages or whatever it is. But basically, Clark County insisted that the developer of that property had to build the road that was designated for it. And by conveying that portion to me for essentially his cost of wetland mitigation and road construction, Clark County agreed that he didn't have that was okay. In other words, and then I entered into a covenant with Clark County to construct that road as a condition of the development of this parcel.
So you basically took on his obligation to, you said, okay, I'll take care of the road and you don't have to anymore in the wetlands. Yeah.
Right. And I don't have to construct that road until such time as I can, you know, that the rest of it can be built.
Right.
And this is the guy to the east of you?
That would be to the west. And that green field is now apartment buildings.
Okay, got it.
And I think that that apartment valuation and development is primarily the basis for assuming that this would have significant value, as indicated by the assessment or the appraisal. But the big difference is being able to develop off the existing public road versus not.
All right. How does that impact, I mean, what you paid for, how does that impact the value of the property? I mean, I understand that you got some back and forth and everything, but how does that impact what the value of the actual property is?
Well, I think I paid a little bit on the high side, but that's because I then can develop a land to the north.
Additional land up north of there?
Sierra does not own that land, but I have an interest, a controlling interest in land to the north. Not directly north, but northwest. That parcel.
So, so that allows you access to that land then?
Correct. And that's why my total cost of $740 would be quite high for just a 5-acre piece with a manufactured home on it. But being able to develop that parcel, and then there's another parcel, there's other parcels in there that I control further north. And so even though they're not under the same ownership, it having that ability in the future, when I can eventually connect to 179th, makes it worth the $740. But certainly, in my view, that's top dollar.
All right. What do you have any idea what the assessor used in valuing your property? I mean, how did they get it to that kind of value?
Well, I can only speculate, but for the apartment property next door, it looks like they paid $2 million plus for that property. And that's what they paid me, $350, to get rid of the road obligation.
The one which way? To the east?
It is to the, it would be to the west, and it joins the subject property on the west side.
Does it have access to 179th?
Yes, they're allowed to develop the entire complex is being developed with direct access on and off 179th.
Okay,
so that just makes the difference. Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world.
So that's the one with the green field in it that you say now has buildings in it, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And if I could buy the two parcels out front, or if Clark County decided to build the roundabout and extend the road up, through those properties, to the north, then I can develop.
Right.
but I don't think they're going to do that. They're going to just let the, if those parties eventually, and you know, eventually everything sells, but when that will occur is unknown.
Are those just residences in there?
Correct. The one, there's one property that, where they kind of run a small retail business out of the house. They call it the Nut Tree or something to that. I forgot exactly what they call it.
Okay. So,
coffee, beans, and nuts.
Yeah. So you now have the land and you have an existing tenant on it, I guess, in a mobile home?
Right.
And you have a tenant in there paying rent on it, is that fair?
Correct.
And that's why you valued it at $673 for the land and $66 for the mobile home.
That would be, I think the value on the mobile home and the land, that sounds about right.
Yeah, okay. I got it now. Mm-hmm. A little bit complicated.
It's a very unusual transaction. I've never been paid to, take a parcel of land before, but I can't. Hey. It sounded reasonable to me.
I don't have any other questions.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye now.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 15th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 447 for property ID 264-627-000. The property is owned by Ronald Fernandez and Susan Fernandez. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office. We have Susan Fernandez, Ron Fernandez, and Angelica Pravitoni present over the phone for the appellant. You do not all have to speak, but whoever would like to speak, please raise your right hand and we'll swear you in. If anybody is not speaking, please just let me know so that I don't mark you as a speaker.
Okay. We all maybe want to speak, so we're raising our hand whether or not we need to speak.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Hi, this is Angelica. We met with a contractor that came in and gave us estimates for the work that needed to be done here. And so there were several items that are imperative to having this house be functional. One of them is arsenic removal. There's arsenic in the well water, and within 5 years that typically causes cancer. So that's something that's of imperative importance. Another issue is that we have no backup power supplies. So if the power goes out here, which happens several times a year, either on inclement weather or fallen trees on lines, things like that, we end up in situations where there's no power here. And so the house is uninhabitable. So to have those things remediated and fixed will cost in excess of around $100,000 between a backup power supply and the water issues. There was also an issue recently where we had a leak in the kitchen. So we're going to have to, what it looks like is that the floor needs to be torn up, and This is a three-story house, so the second story floor has to be torn out, and so do the walls downstairs to try and deal with the black mold situation that's happening. So there's several issues that make this house not worth what it's being evaluated at for price, as well as trees falling. The roots are shallow on a lot of the trees, so we have to have somebody come in and do that. When my parents bought this house, they didn't realize the additional financial strain this would cause. And so we've been all trying to figure out a way to work around it. But at this point, there is no immediate resolution to these issues. So although the house looks like it's evaluated at a certain price, I would say that based on the knowledge that I have working in construction in the past, that the house is not being evaluated for a fair value. The windows, I mean, the windows that are here are double pane, but at the same time, the way that the sun hits the house, they're splitting and cracking and they're warping. And so that's another issue. The windows have to be replaced. We've got an issue with the roof that we had done when we moved in. And the contractor that did the roof went out of business, I guess, the month after they had gotten the new roof put in, and he didn't install it correctly. So it looks like it's warping. There's areas where water is getting underneath the shingles. When we had the contractor come out, the estimate that they gave was about over $500,000. And it seemed like a pretty fair based on the needs of the house. So do you have other things you want to say?
Oh, hi, it's Susan. We sent you the information we were able to gather up. So I feel confident that as you go through or maybe have already gone through and looked at the different things that need to be done in the house, there are other issues, and we have a limited time. So I'm trusting that you have or will go through the things that we sent to you. The arsenic removal was not part of the 500 and something thousand that the contractor was able to come up with as he looked at things. And the things that need to be done, none of them, we're not concerned about them in terms of, we'd like to get a new house. Oh, we'd like it to look like this or that or the other thing. No. The reality of the situation is that we have real problems here. We didn't know about arsenic being in the water until just before signing, and at that time we were told that the arsenic, everything here has arsenic in the water, and, you know, don't worry about it, it's within safe levels. And within several months of buying the house, we got a letter saying that the government had reassessed the value of the problems with the arsenic levels, in other words, how high they would be, and if they were safe, and we were told our arsenic levels were not safe. We're caught in a position where our house has been valued based on, I don't know, other people's probably, but the bottom line is that the reality is what we have. And the stuff that we submitted to you is honest and true, and there's still more things that we have to get information on. So all I can say is just God bless you guys. I believe in my heart you're trying to be fair, and we are grateful for that. So I'm going to put Angelica back on.
So I guess the final thing that I would like to say, and the point that I would like to make, is that the repairs that need to be done here are not being done because of, like, they're not vanity repairs. They're not just for, like, the look. Like, the kitchen has to be redone because we have to rip out floors now because there's an issue with leaking water and black mold. Okay, and that's going to change possibly the footprint of the kitchen. I don't know. I don't know how all that's going to work. We haven't even gone past, like, right now we're just trying to get the arsenic out of the water so that people aren't going to get cancer, right? And we're dealing with issues of, you know, like, what do we do if the roof is leaking and it starts rotting, okay? And then we've got issues with gutters that are not draining correctly. I mean, there's so many different things. And so although we've tried to handle these things each thing at a time that's come up, there's just so many that at this point, paying additional money in taxes doesn't make sense, because what we need to do is we need to take that money and put it into trying to remediate the problem. So, you know, I appreciate the work that all of you do, and I feel like what you did, you think is fair, but at the same time, if you had like a day living in the South, you'd have a completely different understanding of how things are here. It's not, you know, it's not all, definitely not perfect by any means. And so all we're trying to do, and for my parents, you know, at the age that they're at, just trying to figure out how we're going to be able to manage all of this. So there's a lot that's going into this, and trying to make sure that what we're doing is fair, because I'm all about paying taxes, you know, and at the same time, if the house isn't safe, it isn't safe, and it isn't. And so that's where we're at. So what we're asking is for grace in the situation, and that you would be willing to consider the other situations that are happening and not just what it is by sight, you know. By sight, yes. By sight, yeah, if you could, yeah, exactly. The way that it is not what it is. I mean, we've got outside the foundation is, you know, looks like it's cracking. There's things that are happening with that. You know, all these things can be fixed for a price. That's what the quote was from the contractor. And so they gave a fair quote. I feel it's a fair quote based on my experience working in construction for over 10 years. But at the same time, it's not something that we can just like, hey, here's $500,000. Let's fix it all. So we have to do it in stages. And what we're asking for is leniency and being able to do that.
Can I ask a question regarding the condition? So you bought this property in 2016?
Yes.
And was there any initial improvements made to the home, or is it the same condition?
No, there were initial improvements made. So before we could get a loan for the house, we had to replace the roof, which was how much?
Oh, many thousands.
It's supposed to be a 50-year roof. We got the roof replaced. They replaced all the flooring. There were several things that they had to have done. So, yes, there were all the wood that wasn't painted had to be painted. So we painted the exterior decks and things like that. We replaced all the flooring in the house that was carpeting, because it was saturated with animal urine from the people that lived here before. The roof was rotting, so that had to be fixed, and that was done. But the problem is that the work that was done is not necessarily done to what I would say would be good standards. They had the contractor that they used went out of business the month after they used them, because I noticed the roof is warping. Okay, so the shingles that they used are now look like they're bubbling, right? And so I said to my mom, I was like, hey, we need to contact the contractor, which we did, but he went out of business. So it's not like there's an easy fix for this. So now we're going to have to find somebody else to come in and do the work, which means an additional cost, although it should have been warranted for 50 years. So, yes, there were improvements made. However, the improvements made were not necessarily to bring the house to a living standard. The major problems are really the arsenic in the water. Okay, we can't have any kind of fumes from the water, because that's what creates the arsenic. We can't use the water on anything that goes in our mouth. So that creates an issue with, like, making sure that people aren't getting cancer, right? And then another issue is when the power goes out, the house is completely unusable. Absolutely unusable. We have to leave here. We can't even stay here. So although we're trying to figure out solutions for this, they're very expensive.
So the quotes in here on some of your water filtration systems, was that to clear up the arsenic?
Yes. Yes, okay. And that doesn't include the maintenance fees. The maintenance fees, I think, are about $2,500 a year to replace filters and things like that.
Okay. Okay.
And then, and then radon's the other issue. We need to get a radon system to get... We have... And there's radon here. I mean, like, there's a lot of things happening. And I guess that's what comes with... We're from California, right? So this isn't something we're used to, but I guess that's what comes with living by a volcanic site, right? I don't know. That's what I was told by the people that I've talked to, multiple people that do not only contracting but also work at the water stores and at the places that help with, like, the radon systems, things like that, is that as we have tectonic plates shifting, then things change. And with our well being down 500 feet, as that happens and the water levels change and through the seasons, all of that changes throughout the year. So we have to watch all of this very carefully.
Okay. Also, we had wanted to be able to get you pictures, current pictures, and because of things that were going on here, my daughter was having problems with recurrent COVID some weeks ago. My husband had a heart attack and actually was in the hospital. They did some surgical procedures on his heart. He can't, there's a lot of stuff he can't do, especially this first year. The other things that I think you may have pictures of, but they've gotten worse, is like the cement work in front of our house. It's all broken and it's crooked, and actually our porch in front of the house is not touching in multiple areas, isn't touching the cement. So I really would love if somebody would have come out. I don't even know if we even have the right to ask. If somebody could honestly come out and take a look at what we're dealing with. We have felled trees that we haven't been able to remove because of the physical state of my husband. And they're laying here and there all over the property. Where we live, you know, if it was down, you know, on another section of the property, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But this is where we live, to be able to get around, to walk around the house. That's pretty much not possible in some of the ways that it used to be possible before trees came down. So it honestly, if somebody were to come, we were also told when they originally put the roof on the house, that the barn or the shed or whatever you want to call it, that needs a new roof. And that's at the bottom of the hill, not real close to the house, but it's still part of our property. And they said it was supposed to be replaced then, but it has not been. So if I was somebody that was going to buy a house, and I walked in here and walked around the house like the contractor did, and to figure out what was wrong, I probably would have run like crazy. But we sunk every penny. We sunk every penny that we had into buying this house, which we bought as is. And as is was not in good shape. And that's the biggest problem. So, you know, there are a lot of things, and I feel bad because we're over our time limit. Sir, I don't know what else to do. If we have a right or whatever to make a request to have somebody actually really come out and look at this property, not our neighbors, who most of them have lived here their whole lives, and certainly not the neighbors that have lived off of our road up the hill, some that have put in brand new housing. And so that's probably pushed up the evaluation of what the value of the house is. But honestly, look at the property that we have and the problems that we have with it. I think you'd be in agreement with everything that the man that did the evaluation. It needs a lot of work. hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work. And I think we
have the picture.
I've got enough information.
Thank you so much.
Yep, so do I.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All righty.
So you work for us within 30 days.
Thank you. We'll look forward to it. Have a great day. Thank you for allowing us the time as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the
hearing. Michelle,
this is a continuation of the June 15th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 422 for property ID 192679000. The property is owned by Aaron M. Lemon and Catherine A. Lemon. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Aaron Lemon present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Yes, thank you. So I submitted an appeal for a value at $795,000 for this property. Based on what we received as notice of value for this tax, for the 2022 tax year, what we saw was a 26% increase in the overall value of the property. Over the last 2 years, you know, we've seen over a 60% increase for this value of this individual property in excess of about $400,000. So what I presented as evidence to the board here was three comparable properties that are similar in overall size, similar in build date and build quality, and all on acreage within the northern part of Clark County. The overall size of the property, mine currently is, it is 5 acres, pulled in properties that were, roughly 4 acres, 5 acres, and 8 acres. Overall, what I saw in those comparables was that the sales price on those properties roughly had an approximate price per square foot of about $270. And the assessed value on those properties also for that same tax year came out to $282 per square foot as an average. What I am seeing, based on the notice of value for this tax year is $335 a square foot for my property. So what I'm presenting here, at $270 per square foot based on sales price on these comparables, it would put us at $792,745 for my property. I am, petitioning that the value of my property should be $795,000 for this tax year.
Now, you said that the average came out to be $335,000, but you're asking for $270,000 or something like that?
No, that is correct, yes.
$270,000, didn't it? You said the average on the comps came out to be $270,000.
The average on the comps that I provided on the evidence came out to $270,000 on average for price per square foot, correct?
What was the $335,000 you were quoting?
$335,000 is what my property is listed at based on the notice of value. So my notice of value came in at $983,000 and change for 2,937 square feet.
Got it.
I don't know.
Okay.
Have any questions?
Yeah, just to let you know, the only thing on your comps. they sold at a different time other than January 1st, 2022. So they need to be time adjusted from the date of sale to the date of the assessment, which is January 1 of 22. Okay. So you would have some adjustment upward based on what the market says the increase in values would be in your neighborhood. Yeah. So you'd have to get that from real estate company or something just to inch those up to closer, what they call time adjusting the sales price. Appraisers would do that when they do an appraisal of property. They time adjust the property, their comparable properties up to the date of assessment.
Understood, yes.
Or the date of transaction. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I have enough information.
Yes, I do too.
Any questions?
No.
Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Bye.
And then I'll have you close it.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 15th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 461 for property ID 127369066. The property is owned by Joseph A. McElonen III and it's under trust. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Jay McElonen, Joseph McElonen, present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you so much. You have my letter in front of you?
Yes.
So this is really just an update to something that was agreed on back in at a meeting in March 31st, 2010, 13 years ago. I'm updating the costs to cure for the lot. You want me to go through everything in detail here, or has everybody read this? And
we've read it.
We've read it, but you need to walk us through it, too.
Okay, thank you. So the cost to cure, my lot is a flag lot versus a regular lot, so it's set back. Has a 140-foot driveway to get back behind another house. It requires more money than a normal lot to develop in that area. All the other lots are regular lots, access right off the street in Sundance. It needs some improvements to do that. The home design and yard is limited because of the amount of space needed for cars to get back, turn around, come back. Lot is also on a very steep grade. Utilities are further back away and cost more to get to the lot, to the house. There's some stormwater issues and things. That's a problem for the lot. The next door neighbor, his address is, hang on, let me. The lot next to mine, 3017 Northwest 12th Ave, has had to install stormwater, underwater, water is coming from the top of the lot, down. It was flooding his garage and things, and he had to install a drain. Excuse me on terminology here. I'm a little nervous. underwater cut off for the water coming down. I'll have to do the same. It has that extra long driveway. Lot has water issues, like I just explained. The cost for site work for a flag lot total is $131,300. I have estimates in what I sent you for the cost from a contractor of what it would cost to get my lot ready to build versus a lot that is not a flag lot. So the cost to site work for our flag lot is $131,300. Cost for site work for a non-flag lot is $23,920. Subtract one from the other, you come up with a difference of $107,380, minus the cost already on file for this lot that they did back 13 years ago of $47,000. I'm requesting that the cost to cure be updated by $60,380. Any questions on any of that?
No, you didn't appeal this last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
I forgot if it was last year. I'd have to look at my notes. I'm not sure. I have to look at my notes.
Can I ask you a question on the picture that you provided of the subdivision? Where exactly is your lot? Is it up at the top? It says track E.
Is it 42?
It's lot 33.
Lot, okay.
So if you're that's looking at
33, it, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It was lot 33, okay.
So if you're looking at it, it's up in the top left-hand corner.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure.
And the lot I was talking about a minute ago is lot 34.
Okay. So I maybe I missed something, but you've got cost for site work to flag lot, $131,000, and then you subtracted $23,920, which is what you'd normally have to pay for a non-flag lot. Is that
correct?
And then which leaves $107,000, yep. And then you subtracted cost to cure already on file, which means money the county's already deducted the $47,000, or
yeah, I had a hearing back on March 31st, 2010, and at that time they reduced the cost of the reduced the tax assessment by $47,000 for the cost.
So you just took their $191,000 and subtracted the money still needed to.
Yes, exactly.
To complete the cost of cure and including inflation. Okay.
So we don't know what those lots are valued at. Is there any of those lots that are still vacant?
I believe there's some lots vacant in that area. Not sure. I haven't been over there for a while.
And you don't know what any of them have sold for recently or?
No.
Are selling for?
I don't think any of the lots have. It's not most of that development is developed. I think there's one or two lots developed over there. They've been.
So it hasn't been developed? It hasn't been fully developed since 2010?
What hasn't been?
You said it has been.
That Sundance Sundance development there is mostly developed.
Mostly developed.
Oh, okay.
It's mostly developed. I believe there might be one lot that's not developed right now.
So most of those other lots have already sold.
Yes. Yeah, there. Somebody has a picture up right there. Most of those lots have sold. Homes on them.
Kirk Allen, that one went down there, this vacant, and get the information, property information on that one. Down here in the blue, yeah, there you go. Okay. I have enough information.
Yeah, so do I.
Yep, I'm good.
Anything else you want to add?
I think that's it. My lot just has a lot of issues with it.
Yeah. All right, close the hearing. Thank you. You'll hear from us within...
This is a continuation of the June 15th, 2023 hearings for the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves two properties. The first is case number 428 for property ID 188-694-000. The second is case number 429 for property ID 188-695-000. The first is owned by Daniel R. Nuto Jr., and the second property is owned by Daniel Nuto Jr. and Madison Patricia Perrault, or Patricia Madison Perrault. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Daniel Nuto present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll swear you in for these cases.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor. We're here to your testimony to make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, first of all, and forgive me, I'm not good at this sort of thing, so I'll do my best. First of all, I am not disputing the improvement value, just the land value. Which I feel have many challenges that diminish this value. This is a 1.73-acre parcel, which is mostly not usable due to the steep slope and severe erosion potential, as described in the geographical hazards section of the county's fact sheet. I also provided a topographical map in my my submitted documents. The parcel is accessed by a very long, narrow driveway, part of which would have to be an easement if I didn't own it all. There are three parcels. It necessitates a significant portion of the usable area to be used for driveway access and turnaround area for cars, construction vehicles, emergency vehicles, such as fire trucks, etc. The local fire company has even contacted me to do a survey of my land because they said that we were so far from the street that they would not be able to fight a fire at my house if they could not turn around one of their large vehicles down at the property at the house. Luckily, that passed, and which means that it was a significant part of the flatland for a turnaround area as well. The usable area is irregularly shaped. It's kind of triangular. So as far as buildings go, a lot of, parts of it can't be used. My house is old, much older, but you really can't even have an attached garage to it. I had to build a two-car detached garage so I could, you know, get it onto the property. And I could only go two cars because that's the maximum space, you know, the county would let me use. We are directly adjacent to the main north-south line of the Burlington Northern Railroad, which adds significant noise to our home and our property. Literally, I can throw a rock from my deck and hit the train. And I don't have a very good arm. If you're on the deck, all conversation stops if a train goes by. If you're in the house, you can't understand dialogue on the TV when a freight train goes by. And there are approximately 50 to 60 trains a day. I have included four what I call comparables from my neighborhood that are also are larger lot sizes and display many of the same issues as our parcel. I realize you don't like comparables that don't have recent sales, but due to the very unique nature of my land, these are the most similar things around. I have also included others, but it should be noted, though, that the fourth comparable I put there did have a relatively recent sale for $850,000, which included a home, and it's a four-acre parcel. Just of note, that was assessed at almost $1.1 million, but it sold for $850,000. I'll speak briefly on those four comps so you know what's going on. The first one is my neighbor directly adjacent to me to the south. It's a very similar parcel. It's 1.8 acres, slightly larger. It is also a steep slope and severe erosion issues and is adjacent to the train track. This parcel has more usable space, better access as it is located directly on the county road, and less exposure to train noise as it's set further back than mine is. For these reasons, I feel that this parcel is actually more valuable than mine. And with a slight size adjustment, I approximated at $226,000 based on assessment. And as I said, I feel it's a superior usable space access and less exposure to train noise. The second one is you know, much less. It has more challenges. It has less usable space, significant access issues, and greater exposure to train noise. It's size adjusted. It's a 2.8-acre parcel. It's just south of my neighbor to the south, and it was tax assessed at $44,000 size adjusted. But it is truly inferior to mine. I'm not saying that it's probably not, but anyway. The third one I actually think is also very similar. It's several parcels to the north of me. It's larger. It's 3.11 acres. It also has steep slope and severe erosion issues. Its access is long and narrow as well, and it's close to the train. Size adjusted, it comes in at approximately $207,000, and it has what I estimate, looking at topo and aerial photos, 4 to 6 times the usable space that I have. And the fourth comparable is that one I mentioned before with the sort of recent sale. It's not located directly in my area, but it's in the Northwest Vancouver area. It's a four-acre parcel. It is actually mostly gently sloped. It's by Cougar Creek Canyon. I think just the very end of it is steep. Most of it is less than 15 degrees. It has street access on two sides of it. It's probably subdividable. And so it's, yeah, well, you know. And it's tax assessed, size adjusted at $42,000. I've also included 11 relatively recent sales from Clark County that share some of the same issues as mine. There are larger lot sizes with the ability to only put one home on it. There is one exception, the first comparable. I initially didn't realize that this lot has a potential for more than one building site. I'll talk about that in a second. The first three have some slope issues and are located close to the railroad, but do not have access issues. The two comps that I had, that I gave you 11 fair comps of sales. The first one is located on Evergreen Highway. It's 2.01 acres. It's sold for $295,000. It's described as being gently sloped. It's located on the county road, good access. It's described as possibly having multiple building sites. Size adjusted value, I get at $254,000. That's a superior property. Then I also noticed there was a 2.48 acre. It's the ninth of the 11 I gave you. It's in Ridgefield. It's described as being 2 miles from downtown Ridgefield. It's a level land. It does not have it's also accessed by a private gravel road, which would be very similar to my driveway. Size adjusted, it comes in at $220,000. Let's see. Basically, my opinion is that my land value is probably between $200,000 and $225,000. I also believe that a year-over-year increase of 46% is reasonable, and especially considering I believe the initial value was probably a little on the high side, nothing, you know, the prior years, but anyway, that's kind of where I went. That's it for that property. Do you have any questions for me, or can I anything I can add?
Questions on that one?
No, I don't have any questions on either one.
Okay. I mean, the other one is, 1.79 acres as opposed to 1.73 acres. It's completely wooded. I think it would require significant investment if anyone wanted to develop it. It's a long way to bring utilities in. It would have the same issues with driveway utilization of the flat space and turnaround area. Might even require engineering. That I don't know for sure. All of my previous argument would apply to it. I do kind of believe that this one is worth even a little less than my other parcel. But anyway, that's where I stand.
Okay. Well, let me understand that it looks like this parcel has a better building envelope than your other parcel.
It has. I would say it has a little better. Yes, I don't know that it would be good enough to. It's not. I do not believe that you put more than one house on it. I think you could put a house with an attached garage. You wouldn't have any of those limitations. You'd still be exposed to the train noise. Yes, I do believe it has more, but I don't believe you have enough for, if you had to put a turnaround area for a fire truck down there, I do not believe you have any more than enough for one home.
So why would you value it less than your current property, than your house property?
Well, I might have made the improper assumption that because it didn't have utilities and all that to it already, But that may not be considered land value. That may be considered part of improvement value. So in that situation, I may be wrong, actually, on that assumption that I made. I figured it would cost at least $25,000, probably way more than that, to bring utilities in, and my other lot already has them. So that's why I made
it. You have sewer and water?
Yes.
Okay. So you're not on septic or anything like that?
No.
What's that housing to... What?
I have to pump out sewer. You know, I've got a long high-pressure line.
Well, okay. What's this housing development that's just adjacent to this property?
Yes, that's Erickson Farms.
Okay. I don't think I have any other questions.
Nope, I don't have.
No questions here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, okay. Sorry. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I look forward to hearing from you.
Great. Nikhil.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Close it. Close hearings.
This is a continuation of the June 15th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 433 for property ID 205-232-000. The property is owned by Myron Smokey and Deborah Smokey. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one for the appellant. So a quick review of the evidence. The appellant submitted three comparable sales. Property ID 223-935-015 sold for $713,727 in May of 21. Property 236-636-006 sold for $720,000 in February of 21. And property 203-786-006 sold for $753,000 in August of 21. Nothing from the assessor's office. So I will hand that back over to you folks.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
I have no questions.
Lisa?
No questions.
close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 15th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 434 for property ID 188-315-000. The property is owned by Roger B. Snowy and Barbara J. Snowy, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Roger Snowy present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. The first question I'd have is, have you all read that, the summary of my arguments?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Very good. Then it's the... It's broken. The arguments are broken into two segments. There's pages 1, 2, and 3 as the arguments, and then pages 4 through 15 are the exhibits to support the arguments. The assessor's office designates this as prime developable property and says it's 5 acres. the argument that I'm using is both, is all by, made by legal legal arguments, and I'm using as sources the Clark County GIS, U.S. Legal, and the Unified Code of Clark County. The developable land legally is described under U.S. Legal as land that is substantially underdeveloped and has a high potential of development. The developable land cannot include, which the most important one that supports my argument, is areas that exceed 1/2 acre of contiguous land is unsuitable for development because of topographic and environmental reasons. If you look at exhibit, and if you look at exhibits 2 and 3, those are taken out of Clark County Unified Development Code Title 40, and they state and their standards that developable property on steep slope hazardous areas is regulated to prevent landslide. You must keep improvements away from those steep slopes. And number 2 states that landslide areas are generally not allowed and require buffers that keep vegetation in a natural state on and around the landslide area. On Exhibit 3, the amended ordinance in 2005 stated that in a landslide hazard area, a minimum buffer of 50 feet is required from all edges of that landslide area for protection. And that buffer area that 50-foot area is for safety for the people that would be building homes there. Exhibit number 4 is the it comes right out of Clark County's GIS, and that's a color code that shows areas. The most important two are the areas of potential instability and slopes that are greater than 15%. Yellow areas is potential hazard areas of potential landslide areas, and slopes of greater than 15 degrees have, well, just from experience, I know that you can't, without extreme engineering, you can't build in those areas of slopes greater than 15%. Exhibit number 5 is a summary sheet of the 3 comparable properties that I used, because you're supposed to provide comps to your property. It's very difficult to do. The county, after numerous calls to them for some assistance and no response, I came up with these 3. They're not in the area, right in the area, but they are comparable in the fact that they're either one R175 zoning or R16 zoning. I did the comparison there, which in sale number 1 was 3.77 acres of R175 zoning, and it had a value and a sale value of $780,000, which equated to just shy of $207,000 per acre. 100% of that property, as you can see on exhibit number 9, that's comes right off of Clark County's GIS. It shows the topography of that property, and it's relatively flat. There, as you can see, there's no yellows, there's no greens. Exhibit number 7, or the second one on there, sale number 2, was just shy of 15 acres, and it was zoned R16, which is actually a higher valued property than an R175. And it sold for $3,250,000, which would equate to $218,000 an acre. And as you can see on Exhibit 7, no yellows, no greens. I use the same filter on all of my arguments that I've made. I use the filters on GIS to do the color coding on the to implement the legend.
Are you saying 7? Exhibit 7? Exhibit 7 is a topographical map.
Yes. With the filters for landslide hazardous areas.
No, I don't know. That one just has the lines on it, the topographic lines. Exhibit 7 just has topographic lines on it.
Which means that there aren't any landslide areas. Is that what that means?
That's correct.
They'd show up there on a different color if there were landslide areas.
That's correct.
But there's no colors on that map.
That's because it
doesn't have slopes greater than 15%, though.
That's correct.
Okay.
I used on all three of these, on my property and on the three comps, I used the same. Same filters of 2-foot contours, steep slope, potential landslide areas. Good to go.
Yeah, anything else?
So on comp number three, R175, just shy of 2 acres, sold for $375,000. And as you can see on Exhibit 8, with all the filters that could be put on there, landslide, potential instability, contour lines, there is no environmental impact on that property. It's 100% usable. If you move on to Exhibit number 9, this is a picture of 1883150000, shows the outline of the property. There, on this particular picture off of GIS, there are no contour lines, there's no filters put on there, and it just indicates a 5-acre parcel of ground. You look at Exhibit 10, that's where you add the filters. These are the contour filters and the steep slopes and the landslide hazard areas. As you can see, there's a lot of yellow, there's a lot of green. If you compare that to number 9, if you put 9 and 10 exhibits side by side, it's an exact, it shows exactly what that property, the dimensions of that property are. So then on exhibit number 10, I have drawn in the setback areas. There's also a county storm sewer, stormwater easement over the property that is recorded under a document filed in 1976, although it actually doesn't come into play. I did want to show that. So if you take the yellow orange area that is landslide area, and then you do the 50-foot setbacks from any of those potential areas or from those areas, you have the property left over that is signified by areas 1, 2, and 3. We have two triangles and one rectangle. And I did the math for you and came up with the area, square footage area of each one of those triangles and of that rectangle, which when you do that, the developable land becomes 88,438 square feet. If you use an acre is equivalent to 43,560 square feet, and you do the simple math, that leaves 2 acres of usable land. Out of the 5 acres, only 2 is actually developable. If you look at exhibits 11 and 12, so you say, well, what becomes of that property if you can't develop it? And I was a real estate developer. I'm retired now, but I developed in Clark County for well over 20 years. And I know from experience that this one argument I made right here is consistent through all of the county over the years. And what this demonstrates is, exhibit number 11 shows a subdivision that was put in just north of this property of 188315. And the blue outline is all the area that is unbuildable because of hazardous slopes and because of steep slopes. And all of that property that's outlined in blue or turquoise was turned over to the Horizons West Homeowners Association, and it has and it is listed on exhibit 12 as no value. Market value as of January 1st, 2022, there is no value. So the argument that I'm making is that out of the 5 acres that the county is proposed to tax me on, because it's prime developable property, only 2 of those, slightly over 2 of those acres, can actually be developed. The rest is considered, even by the county, is considered at no value. So if you take the comparables that I cited and you apply it to the 2.03 acres, it comes up with a value of $433,738. And that is what I think that this land should be valued at, not what I'm being assessed at for this year.
So you asked for 400. Are you asking for 440,738 or whatever?
133,783.
That's correct.
Yeah. In the it's about 3 of 15. There, the last paragraph.
Yeah, I see it. I've got enough information.
Yeah, so do I.
Hey, we got it. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the June 15th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 435 for property ID 986-035-269. The property is owned by Jason F. Wojtowicz and Juan Wong. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Juan Wong present over the phone for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, great. Thank you. The property I'd like to appeal, reason being value higher than the assessor value. I feel like the assessor value there are a few factors that was not considered. So number one being the property had a very small lot. On a very small lot that had a very tiny yard, the yard space, and number two, it's also the homeowner also have to pay a homeowner association fee that also impact the property value, I feel like those are the two main reasons that the assessed value were seem pretty high from its actual market value of the property. Since this is my first time appeal, so the one thing I'm pretty interested in how the assessor value was derived, from the data purchase to because just assuming that when the time I bought it, that's a fair market value. That was later 2021, and then the notice I received, it seemed like I've been getting the value just went up by pretty significant, at 20 something percent.
When you purchased the property, what the realtor used?
Yes.
So it was an arm's length transaction with you used a realtor and the seller was using a realtor, and
correct? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. The only question I have.
Okay. I've got enough information.
Yep. I'm sorry. I also looked up another property that's similar. I apologize. I didn't submit ahead of time. But I can provide that property address and then cost the sale price. That's
your sale price is the best evidence that we could have. So we're good with that. Okay.
Yep. We don't need any more information. We've got everything we need.
Okay, sounds good. Do you have anything for me?
No. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
I've got it. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.